Hello, Bulls fans. Welcome to Bulls HQ, a Chicago Bulls podcast on the Blue Wire Podcast Network. Thank you for joining us on this episode of the show, and what an episode we have for you today on Bulls HQ. The headquarters itself is beaming right now as this great giant building made of the finest and purest steel known to man continues to stand tall in its scale over 1,000 meters in height. And as the sole owner of this building, here I am, perched upon the top floor, looking out to the horizon, and all I can see is the future. And Bulls fans, let me tell you, all I see is the red Leviathan emergeth. If that completely absurd introduction hasn't given you a clue as to who is joining me today on this show, then perhaps this will. On the show today are the hosts of the Big Red Bus podcast, the esteemed podfather himself, Doug Tonis, and the bumbling buffoon many of us know as C. Red Fred. Boys, how are you?
This Mark, is the best introduction ever.
No, it wasn't. It's great to be here, two legends, and Mark. It's always enjoyable to talk to you. Thanks for having us on. I got to start this out. Mark, I was very irritated. I was on a vacation in Florida, and obviously a lot of Bulls news came through. So I decided to, after I listened to 7 or 8 podcasts, decided to turn on Bulls HQ.
Yeah.
And it's great. Great to hear you. But I got to tell you, I'm really getting bored and irritated with the audio fishing for likes for you and your distinguished or extinguished guest that was on. I was enjoying my vacation, walking down the streets of Siesta Key, and I put the headphone in, and within 2 minutes, Mr. Fishing for Likes said something to the right into the mob mentality script. Gar Packs never moved a player at the top of their value scale was like the first comment. Took a deep breath. You know, it's like, and you just nodded, and agreed with this mildly coherent point. And I was just screaming, who's the best player in the Bulls, Mark? Mark, who's the best player in the Bulls right now? Let me ask you that question.
Denzel Valentine, is that the answer?
No, it's not. Zach LaVine. Zach LaVine was acquired for Jimmy Butler, who subsequently has been traded twice. Does Mr. Fishing for Likes want to argue that the T-Wolves or the Sixers took in a greater haul for Jimmy Butler? Is that his point? Jimmy Butler was traded at the height of his value with the Chicago Bulls. Again, from the mouth of two guys, you and Mr. Fishing for Likes, who demanded that that trade was moronic, I stand by that trade, and I want to know, was Jimmy Butler traded by the Bulls at the height of his value? Yes or no?
No. But
God.
He definitely wasn't. He definitely wasn't. I mean, they had floated the idea of trading him earlier on, and because they were making it very clear to the league that they were planning on moving from Jimmy Butler, and those signals were quite clear for 12 months in advance, then no, they didn't trade him at his peak.
He had MVP votes when they traded him. What are you talking about? He had his best year when they traded him.
What are you talking about? Why the hell are we talking about this now? I brought
because
you
I'm
on with
this. Because
I'm
irritated with this karma. It's not it's Doug, first of all, we're all high-fiving each other about what the Bulls did. We should all be ecstatic. 65 to 75% of the tweets I read were about Gar Packs. Why? Why?
I just gave you a beautiful intro about how, you know, this headquarters Bulls HQ is beaming. All I can see is the red Leviathan emergeth, and you decide to take this towards Gar Packs? I mean, Jesus.
We're all complaining about people.
I just want
to
say
Gar Packs. You brought up Gar Packs.
What a guy.
I wasted the whole time talking about negative stuff while complaining about people complaining.
I just want to say, Gar Packs, it's not good for the karma. It's not good for the karma, all right? Just like Duke Totopaulo and Rocky II, let it go. Let it go.
Do you know what else isn't good for the karma? Constantly making predictions about how the Bulls are going to be winning titles in 2021, 2022, 2023, etc. And then always coming back to bite us in the ass. And after all these free agent signings that the Bulls made, there you were again making these predictions that the Bulls were going to be a title contender this season and then a title winner in 2023. So in terms of karma, Frederick,
I told Alex Caruso you're going to win a title next year because there's seven letters in DeRozan. Let's get on to better topics. I'm sorry to hijack this beautiful fixture.
Well, I mean, speaking of the Jimmy Butler trade, maybe we can segue out of that and into maybe something that's somewhat related to the Jimmy Butler trade. The fact that a key piece to that trade, Lauri Markkanen, is seemingly on the out here in Chicago. I expected him to be gone. I expected it to be resolved by this point. Here we are, essentially 10 days after free agency has commenced, and we still have no idea where Lauri Markkanen is headed. So maybe I'll start with you this time, Doug, and let you get a chance to actually speak rather than, like I said, that bumbling buffoon just going absolutely AWOL on the podcast to start. But what do you think about where things currently sit with Lauri? How do you think it's going to play out? What are his options and all that sort of stuff? How do you foresee it all playing out?
I mean, I think we probably generally understand the options are he'll either be back on the qualifying offer or he'll be signed and traded somewhere. Like, those are the two choices at this point. Mm-hmm. It seems like you've kind of got a lot of things to work out complication-wise. The rumor is the Bulls don't want to take back salary and they want a first-round draft pick. Personally, I think they'll bend on taking back salary. They're far enough below the luxury tax that taking back salary won't hurt them. And they also can't fill up that salary with something else anyway. So it's really just an expense, and it's probably worth it to pay that expense if you could get a first-round draft pick of any type. So I don't know that that'll be an ultimate barrier, but, you know, just trying to find a team that has only expiring deals that they are willing to send and has a first-round draft pick that's going to be late enough that they're willing to send it for Lauri, which, you know, takes away some of the teams like the Timberwolves maybe who want him, but they're not going to have a first that's adequate to send. You know, a team like the Mavericks, maybe they'd be a little bit more willing to do so, but their picks are all tied up because of the Porzingis trade still. And, you know, you look at a team like maybe the Celtics, maybe they have a pick they would be willing to send. Maybe the Pelicans, because they have picks from the Bucks and the Lakers, they would maybe send one of those picks because they'll be, you know, pretty bad. And maybe one of those types of things works out. You know, at the same time, a team has to meet Lowry's salary demands. And, you know, it's just going to be a little complicated. I think eventually a sign and trade gets completed of some type. I don't think he'll be back on the qualifying offer, but it could drag out for a while just waiting for one party to bend. And probably there's like really nothing that's a deadline for anyone involved. And the only one who really is suffering, and this is Lowry, right? Like, if the Celtics and the Bulls are in a stalemate over compensation, like, there's really not a lot of pressure for either of those teams to change their mind anytime soon, right? Like, they can just wait. Yeah. Like, they're not giving up anything by waiting. So the only thing that's there is Lowry just hanging in the wind, hoping that someone budges somewhere.
Yeah, I guess the only alternative is maybe if, like, the OKC Thunder just decide to clear some cap space and outright sign him, then, you know, maybe that becomes a situation that maybe changes the landscape. Obviously, the Bulls would have matching rights at that point, potentially, or have the ability to, given he's a restricted free agent, but I don't see that happening anyway. To your point, like, it is still up in the air. There's a lot to play out, and unfortunately for Lowry, he has zero leverage in this situation, it seems. And I guess the main takeaway that I have from all this is he's very lucky that Dennis Schroeder exists, and the fact that he turned down that $84 million deal is maybe taking some of the shine away from Lowry's decision here, and maybe not to take up the extension. So, Frederick, over to you now. In terms of Lowry, like, do you think he's going to regret the decision he made prior to last season where he turned down an extension that maybe would have paid him somewhere in the vicinity of, say, $14, $15 million over a number of years to stay with Chicago, where he's now looking at it a reality when he obviously wants more than that, but it doesn't seem likely that he's going to get more than that. So, do you think he's ultimately going to regret the decision he made, you know, 10 months ago?
Well, probably now, but that decision last year was likely a good one. Bertans signed for $15 million. He set the market. I think Lauri Markkanen is a better player than Bertans. So every indication was the Bulls, not the Bulls, but a team out there would have likely given Lauri Markkanen $15 million or more a year. I don't think it's true that the Bulls offered $15 million. In all my sources, which aren't many, but for the few people I have talked to, I heard it was more in the $12 to $13 million range. And I would have, as Lauri, I don't think it was like an insane decision to set. I could have got better. This is one of the few things I'm a little confused about. Like, overall, I love every move these guys did, Acme did in this offseason. I love the draft in Io. I loved getting DeRozan. I loved, you know, getting Lonzo Ball at the money they got him for. This is the one that they're receiving a ton of praise for. And I'm kind of like bewildered. Why? Like, hello, everybody. I think we need a front court player. Why? How has the relationship with Lauri Markkanen gone so sour that he's, you know, off? He's not a bad player. Like, people are acting like this guy sucks. He doesn't suck. He's a good player. He shot 40% from three at the power forward position last year. There's value in that. Teams want him on their team. Like, somebody's going to give him $10 to $15 million likely before this is all said and done. and he's not a bad player. So I'm a little bit more kind of disappointed that it got to this point. I understand why Laurie's mad, and I understand why some fans are frustrated with him, but he's taken to me, he's taken far too many unfair slings. I was a member of Laurie's army for 2 years. I defected last year, and I no longer believe in him, and he's not a fit on the team with Vucevic there unless he's willing to come off the bench. But big picture, I don't think we're going to get a number one pick for him, and I don't think they've handled this, you know, particularly well. But I guess we'll have to wait and see what they're able to garner in a sign and trade, if it comes to that.
Well, look, I mean, most of it is his own doing. I mean, if he has demands of a contract, you know, somewhere paying him, you know, in the vicinity of $18 to $20 million, then he's put himself into this situation. I mean, that's just the truth of it. So it's ultimately on him. Like, I don't think the Bulls have done anything wrong by him. Like, this is restricted free agency can be cruel sometimes, but I mean, that's restricted free agency. But you have to go into that situation with some semblance of an understanding of actually what the market values you at. And if you're asking for 20 million, maybe even more, and people are coming back to you and saying, well, I don't have cap space, I've got a trade player exception here for maybe $11 million, or I can take you into this TPE over here for maybe, you know, $14-15 million, but you're holding out for more, then I don't know, it is his fault. So why should we care?
Do you think he's a better player than Bertans?
I mean, maybe.
Oh, come on.
Well, he's not as good as shooter.
He's a better player than Bertans. He's a better player. I think last year he was. I have to go see what Bertans shot, but
it's irrelevant, though. I mean, this
it is
market
very
is
very relevant.
It's not, because this free agency market's different to the last one. So, I mean, whereby Bertans maybe could have got $15 million last season, and maybe if Lowry was a free agent last season, he could have got more than that. That's not the case this season. So it is irrelevant.
Yeah, yes, maybe the one thing I'd add to that is, like, it's no point. This is like, it's like arguing whose fault it is in a divorce. Like, it doesn't matter. Like, these sides, once you reach this point where he was a restricted free agent, you pretty much knew going into this offseason the Bulls weren't going to keep him, right? Like, we all knew that.
Yeah.
Not one of us thought he was going to stay here. And so you knew when he leaves, restricted free agents very rarely give you anything back in terms of value. Like, it's not common that you get something back for a restricted free agent when they leave. And so our expectation should be he's just going to walk to some team who pays him and we're not going to match. Like, and he couldn't find the team. And you know what it is? If he was just in this, like, middle class of free agents, he wasn't anyone's on list. And in that class, every year, there's a few guys who lose out. And those guys are often guys who turn down extensions because they were gambling on themselves. And, you know, of all the guys that gamble on themselves, probably most of the time it works out for them. You know, like John Collins probably worked out for him. But there's always some guys who don't. You know, you look at, like, Bobby Portis, who noted once that he regretted not taking the Bulls extension when they offered it and gave up a ton of money. And even now he's not getting a ton of money. And you mentioned Bertans. I'd throw Portis out there as a guy who's, like, pretty similar in value to Lowry. What did he get this year? It was like $5 million or something. I don't know what the Bucks paid him, but it wasn't that much. You know, so it's just like the market for these middle class guys. It's like you either end up, like, in this $20 million range like Lonzo Ball does, or you end up in this, like, $5 million range a lot of times. Like, there, it becomes like everyone gets money and then there's no money left. And then now you're stuck in this very, you know, tight situation. And that's what happened with Lowry. He was one of the guys with Dennis Schroeder who just got caught holding the bag. And there's a couple guys like that every year. And it's just an eye of the beholder thing. Like you said, next year, he might get a lot of money next year. There might be more money available. But this year, he was the guy caught holding the bag. And that's the chance and the risk you take. And, you know, that's Lowry's decision.
Doug, all great points, except with your basic assertion that last offseason, the Bulls had already made a decision that he was out of the picture. That's factually incorrect. They were actually negotiating, trying to sign Larry Market into a multi-year deal. It wasn't
that
much
different. I'm saying going into this offseason, you knew he was out of the picture.
Oh, yes, going into this offseason. I understand.
You knew after the trade deadline and after they benched him and
after they got,
you know, whatever. Like, you knew they did not want him going forward. And so did the rest of the league. There's no threat. Anyone thought we were going to match a decent offer on him. People knew there was no way that was going to happen. I don't even think the restricted tag hurt him that much for that reason. It was so obvious we didn't want him. So, you know, it's just like I said, just some guys it doesn't work out with. There's like probably a dozen guys out there who could have gotten paid, and then just the timing didn't work out for them, and then they never got paid. And Lowry might end up being one of those guys who just never gets the big deal. But, you know, whatever. I'm going to cry the world's smallest, or play the world's smallest violin for the guy. What's he's now going to get $5 million a year for the next 10 years? Like, whatever. Like, oh, poor guy. He only gets, you know, career earnings of like $70 million instead of like $180 million. Oh no. Like, what an awful life he must live. You know, like,
agreed. Okay. But you can't help but feel a little bit disappointed for like a Dennis Schroeder who. No, I mean, not disappointed. He got.
I can't. I don't feel anything for Dennis Schroeder or any of these guys. Look, if you make the gamble, I've said this a million times. The first time I'm up for my extension and someone throws like $50 million at me, I'm signing. Like, it doesn't matter that maybe I could get $70 million next year. Like, $50 million is guaranteed generational wealth. And like, my downside is zero, right? Like, so the upside of getting an extra 20 is like so small relative to the downside of losing 50. And these agents have just convinced these guys that like, yeah, that's not true. They just only look at it like, well, you should pay me as if the upside is going to happen. And, you know, for some guys that is the case, but then a lot of guys, like, they lose out big. Like Jimmy Butler won big by waiting and betting on himself. But a lot of guys, like some other guys, lose big. And the amount you actually win big is like very little in terms of changing your life compared to the guys who lose big. So, you know, I think these guys like make bad decisions. Like, they don't understand risk reward at all. And so when some dude like Schroeder loses $80 million, I don't feel at all bad about it. Like, this
stupid. Respect, he was provided with bad advice from his agent. And these guys, you know, are being told you're great. You're great. And I think we can all agree Dennis Schroeder is a pretty good point guard, like probably worth more than $6 million on a 1 year deal. I think, can we at least admit that? I mean, he ended up with signing this deal, but I think, you know, it's provided he has a similar year to how he played in regular season last year, he's probably going to get more than that after his season's over. Who knows? He was given bad advice by his agent.
He makes that decision. Dude, yeah. No one comes up to me and like has like $80 million on the line, and then I decide what I'm going to do, and then I blame someone else for giving me bad advice.
Yeah.
If someone offers me $80 million, believe me, I'll figure it out.
Well, we're making the assumption here that the agent is coercing them to hit the market. Like, if Lowry is out here saying, I want $20 million, I want to be a starter, and like that's his demands that he's placing on his agent, who then is doing the rounds trying to find that for Lowry, and at this point is being unsuccessful in finding that situation, then I don't know why we're assuming the player is always the one that's, you know, not a fault, let's say, or the one that has been led down the wrong path.
Oh, you deserve this. You deserve that. A lot of these agents have a lot of self-interest, and the more money that their player gets, the more money they make. That's exactly how it works.
The amount they make on these contracts is so small. But, you know, the thing
what
is
talking actually, about it's a percentage.
Doug, it's like
3%. 100 million. Yeah. Well, 3% of 100 million is a lot better than 3% of 5.8. I can guarantee his agent.
But no, that's the thing is
that.
3%. So say, Fred, you're getting commission. You're getting 3%. You have a chance to get 3% on 80 million, or you can wait a year. And you now might get 3% of 5 million or 3% of 100 million. What would you do? You take 3% of 80 and not even think twice.
Correct.
Like, the thing with the thing with all of this is that the agents also have turned it into a game of like, if you don't get the absolute best deal for your clients, the agents then hold it against the other agents, right? So say like Dennis Schroeder blows up after he signs an $80 million deal, and the next year he'd be worth 120. Then some other agent is going to go, see how your agent screwed you? You could add 120 million. And that's why the agents end up having to do this. I actually worked with an agent for a while, and I was working on his branding with him. And that's what he said. Like, the big problem is, he's like, even if you want to advise guys to take reasonable things, you know, it's like if they outperform that deal, it's so negative. It's like a death blow to your agency because you didn't, you know, like get them the most they could have gotten later. And so in the end, people need to look at this from a different viewpoint. Like they need to make better understand decisions. But that comes down to the players as a collective understanding that, you know, like and making good decisions. Like in the end, the agents can give you advice or they can do whatever, but you still make your own decisions.
Yeah, I like how we got, like, you and I, Doug, are of the same opinion, and then Fred was initially disagreeing, and then all of a sudden we got to the point where he was like, yeah, all right, correct, and he agreed anyway. So that was a waste of time.
It's never a waste of time if we get Fred to agree with
this. Truth. I'm answering in truth. Well, you asked me a completely different question. Of course I would have taken $80 million. Jeff Austin and Alex Serratis from Sports I don't know what the agency is called, but Jeff Austin and Alex better be looking for new employment. I can't imagine he's gonna keep those two guys on.
Well, we'll see. We'll see what happens with the Lowry situation. I'm hopeful that it get resolved soon. That way, you know, we have some sort of idea.
It all works out, right?
I mean, possibly. Maybe to not exactly what he wants, but he's made it pretty clear through Finnish media that he doesn't want to be back in Chicago. So, maybe he gets a starting role somewhere, but maybe it comes at $11 million or something like that. He's not going to get everything he wants.
The only thing is, I understand Lowry's point. Like, I wouldn't want to be back here either. You know, like they acquired Vucevic and he got benched going into a contract year.
Yeah, we don't
want
him.
I didn't think he was playing that bad.
Like, we don't want him.
That's my point.
I mean, we don't want him. He doesn't want to be here. There's no, like, I don't think anyone is, like, even when he said he wanted a fresh start, it wasn't like he was like, damn, the Bulls organization, I hate these jerks. Like, you know, he wants a fresh start. That's reasonable. Everyone is acting reasonable.
But
the Bulls are acting reasonable.
My bigger point is, I would not be surprised. I would not be surprised if Lauri Markkanen at the age of 23 ends up as another player in the long line of Bulls who found success elsewhere, whether it's Doug McDermott, whether it's Campaign, whether it's Tony Snell, and the list goes on and on. Denzel Valentine, I'm sure.
And that's fine. Most of those guys, like, their success is iterative and expected based on their years of growth. And the same will be true of Lowry. Like, he should be better in 4 years than he is now.
Yeah, and look, he'll probably end up in a situation where he's better suited, where he's playing a smaller role, let's say. He's in a role that makes more sense to what his talent is rather than being, you know, a potential cornerstone here in Chicago. So if you want to loop it all back to Garpax, Frederick, then maybe they are the reason that so many of these guys didn't really eventuate here because they weren't supported adequately enough. So how about that, Frederick?
I don't want to loop it back to them. Let's move on to the next topic.
Did we spend 30 minutes talking about Lowry? Like, we got like,
I can't believe it.
22, actually. 22. Not quite 30, but let's move on. Let's move
what
on.
What a waste of time.
Yeah. Agreed. Let's move on then. I want to talk about the tampering situation, which is, again, another topic that's sort of looming in the background. We've got the Lowry situation, the tampering sort of conversation that I haven't necessarily discussed on the podcast yet. Lonzo Ball is officially a Bull. So is Alex Caruso. So is DeMar DeRozan. So there's no issues about these players not ending up in Chicago. However, we still don't know what ultimately is going to come of this tampering investigation, whether the Bulls are going to be fined X amount of dollars, whether, you know, Arturis Karnatsovas is going to be suspended for, you know, 3-6 months, whatever it might be, or if there's draft picks involved. So a quick roundtable here as to what are your assumptions as to what's going to happen? Do you think the Bulls can be found to be liable in this sense, Doug? Do you think that's possible here?
I think they'll almost certainly be found liable. I think when the NBA investigates this type of thing, it's kind of like when the federal government comes after you, the conviction rate is probably 98%. so I think they'll definitely be found liable. It's just really a matter of how bad it'll be. And the more I've looked into it, the worse I think it'll be. So my expectation at this point is actually that the Bulls are probably going to lose something in the realm of millions of dollars and probably a second round pick. In the grand scheme of things, I don't know how much we care about that because it's not our money. Yeah. It probably won't impact us too much, but I think that's probably what we're looking at.
What are your thoughts, Frederick?
I think it's very disappointing. You know, I made this point earlier on Twitter that in 2015, when the Bulls, when David Blatt asked for a timeout in game 4 and it was ignored by the official, where was he?
Completely related. Completely related.
It's basketball and it is relevant. It's the integrity of the game. Like, that's what all this is about. That's what these rules are for. We want to make a fair competitive league. And where was the investigation of that idiot official that cost us potentially our 7th title? It never came to pass. But somebody from the Knicks organization isn't happy because Lonzo doesn't even bother to take an interview with him. And they call their buddies over at NBA. And lo and behold, we got...
Wait, you're assuming the Knicks are at fault here,
I'm
are you?
I'm certain it is. You know it is. Tibbs and his buddy all angry because Lonzo didn't want to take his call. So, yeah, I'm pretty PO'd about it. I'm very angry about it, and I don't think it's fair. I think it's a stupid rule. It's a waste of time. And now if it ends up costing us a number one pick, which I'm concerned that it may, yeah, I'm going to be PO'd. I'm going to be angry. It's really going to hurt the beloved because we've given away a couple in case you haven't noticed. The last thing we need to do is turn over a number one pick. If it's millions of dollars and a second-round pick, I don't care. We'll be fine. But if it's a number one pick, especially this year, I'm going to be a little PO'd. What say you?
Well, why won't you care if it's a second round pick? They just brought through Io with a second round pick. But you've been banging on about how good Io is going to be, how he's worth the first round pick, and the fact that they got him with a second round pick, how jubilant we should be all about that. So, I mean, when you say those sorts of things, doesn't it infer that second round picks do matter?
Second round picks do matter like once every 100 years, and you came across it with Io. Jokic, yeah, Io, that's
Sharif Cooper.
I don't even want to go down that manhole. Please. That's the last thing I want to do. Short arms Cooper. Last thing I want to talk about is him. Congrats on that game-winning three from the corner.
Yeah, he looked good. He looked good. 21 points, 9 assists. Pretty good game there for Sharif. But all right, look, let's move on. We'll see what happens with the tampering situation. Hopefully not much, but I think Doug's probably more in line with... Well, I mean, Doug actually gave me an answer, whereas you just bumbled on about some random nonsense, to be fair, Frederick. So let's move on to... I mean, we touched on it there, Sharif Cooper. I mentioned Io there. Let's move on to Summer League, because that's the basketball that is happening right now. The Bulls are playing in Summer League. They've played their two games, one win, one loss, I believe. And, I'm very interested to see how this continues to transpire, whether they make their way through the other finals here, and maybe whether we can secure Title 8, Frederick, if you count Summer League championships. Now, I'm assuming you do, given Denzel was on the last Summer League championship team. So what have your thoughts been about Summer League? You know, we've got a glimpse at Patrick Williams in year two. We've seen Marko Simonovic. We've obviously seen Io as well. Devon Dotson as well. Like, what have your thoughts been about Summer League thus far?
Well, let's start out with Devon Dotson. I just don't understand the continued infatuation with Devon Dotson. He's a nice kid, really, you know, solid player. He's got a lot of nice skills. But as I just had a call with a Kansas friend of mine who's a rabid Kansas fan who knows everything about Kansas basketball, he told me, you know, great kid, but he can't shoot and he's too small. And when you get down to it, that's what the Devon Dotson experience is. He can't shoot. Shot 17% last year or something like that. I think it was 1 of 7 from three. It was not a lot of attempts.
He played 50 minutes last year. I think we can call that a small
sample size. Well, there's a reason why. I mean, I just laugh all the time at this Devon Dotson. We got to get Devon Dotson. Devon Dotson's not going to – he's too small. Any pick and roll, he's immediately obliterated, and he's a problem on the defensive end. You need to be extra special if you're going to be that small in some aspect of the game, and he's not – he's not. He's a nice kid, but let's stop talking about Devon Dotson like it matters. Io is going to take all his minutes, and he should be off the roster. Io is going to be the point guard, the defensive fixture, player in the rotation. We should be celebrating him, and let's stop talking about Devon Dotson. Io looked great in game two, third quarter, all those defensive plays. That's exactly what I saw. You could tell with his 6'7 wingspan and his size, he's going to be a fantastic player for the beloved Bull. I think he's going to be in the rotation. And I'm excited about Patrick Williams. I don't know how you can't be after seeing that excellent performance in the second half and in the first half of the first game. So, you know, to me, I have a very low bar for Patrick this year. I don't even care what he does offensively. I just need him to make significant progress on the defensive end, and I'll be happy. What say you, Doug?
I don't know. I got completely lost in your ramblings. deep thoughts.
How dare you? Deep thoughts, exactly, with Jack Handy.
Yeah, I don't know. I look at Devon Dotson, and I also don't really see what's particularly exciting about him. But what does make me a little concerned, maybe about everyone else, is that when I watch Devon Dotson like just blowing by people and looking kind of exciting in summer league, and then I look at some of the other guys like not being successful, I'm like, well, you know, Devon Dotson looks like he's twice as fast as Io out there. Like that doesn't spell great things for Io to me. Like his ability to get by
Doug,
people.
Did you see
like
the third quarter of the second game? Third quarter of the second game, some of the defensive plays he made.
Yeah, he made great defensive plays, but like getting special past people on offense.
Yeah.
I mean, like maybe Io will be okay. I'm glad he's special at defending G League players. Hopefully.
Let's get them both on a 50-yard dash. I guarantee Io's gonna win.
I don't know that really matters a whole lot, to be honest with you. Like, I don't.
Well, you're pissing me off with this Io. It's two summer league games. My gosh. Yeah, do we have to go back to 2017 and talk about Dennis Smith Jr. and all of his great antics?
No. Nowhere. I'm not burying anyone due to summer league, nor am I excited about Devon Dotson due to summer league either. It's just interesting when I watch them. Like, Devin Dotson looks like he's in another gear compared to the other Bulls summer league players, and I don't think Devin Dotson's really any good. So it makes me, like, if anything, it makes me feel like, huh, wow, these other guys are like even a gear slower than this guy. I don't think is that good. But then, you know, maybe it's just Dotson's other problems. The one thing, seeing Simanović play, I think, like, watching him, it's been a little interesting to me. He just looks like smaller than I expected him to look. It looks kind of like he's more of a skinnier. 4 than a 5. You know, clearly needs to fill out. He looks like he's very far away to me from being able to contribute at the NBA level. And, you know, hopefully he'll get there, whatever, young kid. It is time to grow, learn, whatever. But it does not look like someone who's going to be able to make an immediate impact. And the fact that he looks more power forward than center sized to me, and looks like he's just going to be an absolute wreck defensively. I don't expect really anything at all out of him this year. And, you know, we'll see what happens, you know, as time goes on. But that was maybe the one thing that stood out to me. You know, Pat Williams was really aggressively, sometimes very aggressively bad, sometimes aggressively very good. And Io had that tremendous defensive stretch in the second half of the second game. Yeah, so some good things to take away. But yeah, like you noted, Fred, like summer league, Dennis Smith Jr. can be MVP. You know, like who really takes too much from anything you see here.
Yeah, I mean, that's fair. I agree with you on Io, Doug. Like, I mean, very concerned about how he's going to operate in the half court. It doesn't look like he has much shake off the bounce there. I mean, his ball handling was a question coming in. The jumper, I'm not convinced about. His best traits make sense in transition, and that's why he looked so good when he was making those defensive plays and sort of starting the break off after those defensive plays. I thought he looked really good in those moments, but beyond that, I have my concerns. And he's lucky that Coby White will probably be injured and maybe not starting the season, because I don't know if he would have been in the rotation otherwise. But yeah, look, we'll say only 2 summer league games thus far, but I kind of disagree on Simanović, to be honest with you. I've actually been quite impressed with how he's played. Like, the small fundamental sides of his game, like, we'll obviously find out if he's a power forward or a center, but like, I love the way he's going about screening guys. Like, you talked about Devin Dotson being the one guy that can maybe make some stuff happen in the half court, but Simanović has been a good, like, pick and roll partner with him. And I've liked what he's done from a screening point of view. I've liked his general awareness on both sides of the ball. He's even sort of showcased his ability to maybe, lead a break, let's say, with from a ball handling point of view. So, you know, I'm not sitting here saying Simanović is going to play 25 minutes a game, but I think there's a chance here that he and Tony Bradley will sort of be competing for those backup center minutes. And, you know, depending on what they do with power forward, and I'm kind of hoping that it's Paul Millsap, or if it's not Paul Millsap, then maybe you can get a sign and trade done. You can bring in like Maxi Kleber or something like that. Like, that would be nice, but I don't know. I kind of like Simanović more now after I've seen him than, you know, him being this mythical second round guy that I hadn't necessarily watched much from abroad. So I like what I've seen from Simanović, and I liked what I saw from Patrick Williams as well. The minute he sort of stopped trying to be the ISO guy off the bounce and was just getting to his usual spots and, you know, operating from those areas where he's more comfortable. And the minute he started doing that in that second half, we saw a better version of Patrick Williams. So I've actually enjoyed watching the Bulls again, watching them in summer league. It's been quite encouraging.
Go ahead, Levy, your concerns on Io. He's fantastic in the half court off the pick and roll. As long as the pick and roll remains a staple of any NBA offense, he'll be fine. So I know
you're an Illinois fan, right?
Yes, I am.
I can't trust you. You're extremely biased. I mean, you're already very Io biased, so I can't take you seriously.
You ever heard Jason Pat? You ever hear him?
He's got the same review.
Yes, he's got the same review of Io as I do. So when we agree together, it's usually 100% right. But I do want to go back to Simanović, because I thought Doug, I'm a little concerned. Like, I was quasi impressed. Like, I think he belongs out there. He looks like I thought he played pretty well defensively for the most part in terms of being in the right position and not being afraid to take contact.
Well, there was like a stretch where he got like dunked on like 3 straight plays because he just couldn't move 2 feet.
Come on. That's what drives me nuts. So he got dunked on. Well, at least, yes. Yes.
But no, he could have been like Denny Average
last year and like ducked into the first row as Zach dunks at home so he doesn't get in the picture. I'd rather have a guy get dunked on than...
No, he didn't get dunked on contesting. He got dunked on because he was just standing there and couldn't jump. Like, he was just completely unaware of what was happening. And a guy like just dove in from out of nowhere. Let me put it this way. Because Simanović actually has very good summer league stats. Like his like points, like all of his stats are actually really good. So, and I agree kind of with what you said, Mark, in terms of him looking a little heady in the way he played. So my concerns are, one, he just looks small. He looks weak. His defense was, I thought, just tragically bad. And then he just was playing like at the rim. You know, when he was like jumping to get rebounds or other stuff, it's like it didn't seem like he could get above the rim at all. And, you know, just for a big man, I think that's like really problematic. I think he's going to be way too weak to play center. I don't think he has the athleticism to defend fours. And like skill wise, it just seemed like most of the stuff he was getting was kind of like just roll man towards the basket, open shots, you know, maybe an offensive put back. Like it, so his stats were good. And maybe that's fine. Maybe, you know, like whatever. It's two summer league games, but he didn't strike me as a guy who's like, I'm like, wow, this guy's good. Like just physically, he just didn't look like he had, I think, the stuff you need to me. But I hope that I will be proven wrong and looking like an idiot in
six months.
It's quite possible.
Frederick would know. Frederick would know.
I do not have an 86% correction what is it? 93%. Correct rate of predictions.
Correct rate, yeah. Northeast Idaho. Hey, before I forget, anybody go watch the movie Vegas Vacation. Simonovich looks exactly like Chevy Chase's son in that movie. Anyhow.
Thanks for that.
Deep insight. That.
What, Rusty? Isn't Rusty like a redhead? What are you talking about?
You know, for some reason, all the vacation movies, they were all portrayed by different actors.
Yeah, different Rustys.
And specifically,
Rusty.
Yeah, just go look at Vegas Vacation, that movie. You can probably find that on YouTube and try to find Rusty. That's Simonovich. It's the same guy. He's somehow transported in time from 97 to the now and playing in the NBA. Anyhow.
Well, look, it's been a while since I've seen that particular movie, but from memory and like in my mind's eye, I cannot see the comparison at all. But okay, sure. Whatever you say, Frederick. But look, well, let's call it here. I know you're on a bit of a time limit here, Frederick. And to be fair, I don't even know what more to talk about. You've kind of thrown me for a loop with all of this Christmas vacation or Vegas, whatever. Which one was it? Vegas vacation.
I've just looked it up now and I do not see this.
What is he talking about?
All right, let me find a couple. I'm going to tweet out this evening. Rusty,
he's got
Vegas
like
vacation.
Wavy hair in this like this thing.
They look like the exact same guy. I'm telling you. And another Vegas Vacation is also good for a Chicago area actress in that movie. What is her name? The girl plays the daughter. Very great performance.
Okay, thanks for that.
Anyhow,
let's
talk about there's one thing I do want to bring up though, Mark, before we go. Again, okay. Doug, could you talk about this? Like, I still think it's important that we as a fan base come together and just put all the negativity behind us and focus on the here and now and going forward.
All the negativity you brought at the start of the show, we should put behind us.
Yeah, I just don't think it's
agree
healthy.
With this assessment. We should not have Fred be on the show to be negative at the start of the show.
I mean, there's nothing to be negative about. The Bulls renounced the rights to Denzel Valentine, so why would anyone be negative right now?
All right, I have something still to be negative. I got to be negative about that. or I should say, everyone seemed to applaud that. And I'm like, I don't even know why we did that. Mark, maybe I'm missing something, but we get no value out of this, right? Like, the rights don't cost us anything. It doesn't take up a roster spot. It doesn't take up any cap room. It doesn't count as an exception or anything. It doesn't hurt Denzel. Denzel doesn't get anything out of it. He could just sign anywhere, anyway, regardless.
No,
The only thing that happens by us renouncing his rights is we can no longer include him in a sign-and-trade if we wanted to match salary somewhere, which was like an option if you needed to get like $5 million, you could have signed Denzel to in a sign-and-trade to match $5 million of contracts if he didn't go anywhere else. And that would be like a piece of flexibility that might come in handy to make a move later, and that's gone. But that's the only thing that changed, is we gave up this piece of flexibility for no reason whatsoever.
Well, it removes his cap hold, I suppose. Like, you get rid of his $5 million cap hold off the book. But, I mean, they're an above-the-cap team, so it doesn't necessarily matter too much.
Doesn't matter towards the luxury tax or anything.
Yeah, they're still under it. Yeah, I take your point. But look, Doug, I was trying to give us an example where we'd all come together and feel buoyant about things. But
I apologize.
Jeez. You brought up a great point, though. Let me just step in and say this. There's nothing more pathetic over the past year than the torrent of people. I swear to God, I think the Valentine's Day is almost...
Yeah, weren't you bringing the fan base together, Fred?
Hold on a second. I want to get this off my chest because it bothers me. There's nothing more pathetic than watching people tweet trying to impress Romina. Hey, look at me. I can rip on Valentine. Look at, don't you love me? It's so pathetic and it's irritating. And I know what you're doing. I'd say almost 95% of the hate on Valentine is driven by Romina and dopes trying to impress her and earn her love. It's not going to work. She doesn't give a darn about you. Doug, what do you think?
I don't even know how to provide analysis on that.
You know this is true.
I'm just going to let it go.
No,
I don't really follow in the same Twitter crowd, apparently.
Are you kidding me? I've just been drowning in a sea of Denzel Valentine jokes.
I wonder why.
Fred, that people just think Denzel Valentine's not that good as well.
Well, yes, that's fine, but you don't have to continually bring it up anytime just to, you know, court Romina. It's just irritating.
I bring it up just to watch you squirm, so.
As do I. Yeah, I've never once thought about Romina in that
sense.
She's irritated me over the past year.
There's two groups of people.
Well, I'll let her know, Frederick, that it's disappointing you quite a lot. I doubt she'll listen to me, but
many times.
Well, there you go.
She's a very friendly, nice person, but her Valentine hate has created this tsunami of dopes trying to impress her, and it nauseates me. Give some advice, everybody. You want to impress her? Send some flowers.
On the plus side, then, do people impress her by liking Zach Levine? Maybe we're also getting some positive value out of this.
Well, there's plenty of that too, I'm sure. It's a double-sided coin for these dopes. But you know, like, it's just it's irritating and it doesn't do anybody any good. If you think you're courting favor with her, you're not. She doesn't care about you. And more importantly, you're irritating me because I'm just tired reading negative Valentine tweets.
This is the most uncomfortable analysis I've ever given.
Well, what a fantastic episode of Balls HQ this has been. I definitely don't regret this decision in welcoming, you know, Frederick on the podcast.
On another show if you need to get
Yeah, thank you, Doug. Thank you, Doug. I might actually scrap this one and just not put it out there, to be honest with you.
We should get Romina on the next one just so I can talk to her about this.
Look, nonetheless, despite this being a painful episode in some senses and in others not necessarily, I'm referring to when I'm speaking directly to Doug versus you, Fred, but nonetheless, I've appreciated you both bringing the big red bus past Bulls HQ. Appreciate you guys jumping on. Tell the listeners where they can find you online, whether it's your Twitter account, whether it's the podcast, whatever it may be. Tell people where they can hit you up.
Well, most importantly, it's the big red bus. You can find us. We're having a contest sending a iconic image of Taj Gibson dunking on Wade. So if you want to win that picture, email me at credfred@gmail.com. That's cereedfred@gmail.com. You can also find us. Doug, where else can you find us? Chicago Bullseye for me and Bulls Beat for you. Where else can you find this? On Twitter?
Nowhere meaningful. I think anyone who listens to this show knows where to find the three of us.
I want to know the guy who listens to Mark but hasn't listened to our show. It kind of seems kind of weird.
I mean, there's probably hundreds of them, but I think like they're aware of it. I don't think we're hidden. Like, if you're in the Bulls pod sphere, you probably know of all like 30 of us now.
I appreciate you though giving us the opportunity to wax poetic about our wares, and it's been great. The two legends and you, Mark, very good show. Really had a good time.
Wow, that's great to hear. I mean, the people, you know, if there were a rare few that just listened to Bulls HQ, that didn't listen to Big Red Bus and, you know, the other assortment of podcasts that you guys have, then they're most certainly unsubscribing from this show at this point, I would imagine. So based on how
I can't imagine anyone. That's why I didn't say where you could find me. Anyone who just did this show, they're not looking. They're
well, looking. Definitely not after this performance. But again, thank you, boys, for both coming on. I appreciate it. Let's do it again sometime. Maybe, probably not. Maybe we'll see. But appreciate you coming on, Bulls fans. Whilst you're out there following Fred and Doug online, assuming you want to do that based on their responses, you can follow me on Twitter too at MK Hoops. Follow the show too as well at Bulls HQ Pod. If you want to be part of the Bulls HQ Discord, and why wouldn't you, especially now that we're in summer league mode, come shoot me a DM on Twitter. I'll also drop the invite link in the description of this episode of the podcast. But that just about does it of this episode of Bulls HQ. We'll hopefully be back very soon discussing the latest on Lowry Markin, summer league, and hopefully the Bulls are sort of headed towards the finals here in summer league. But we'll probably be back next week at some stage, assuming some big notable news doesn't break sooner. But appreciate you tuning into this episode of Bulls HQ. Speak soon, Bulls fans.